the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. We have before us today the gospel of the healing of the Gadarene demoniac, the man possessed by demons. An exorcism, a rebuking and shaming of the demons of Satan's legion, a revelation of their real cruelty towards us and their real powerlessness in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power both in heaven and on earth, as we said at the baptism yesterday. In fact, for me, it's been a week of exorcisms, which is coincidental, it being a devilish week in our popular culture. First, there was a first-time house blessing. A first-time house blessing is an exorcism of the house. In each room, the priest says, "Let every operation of the spirits of evil be put to flight through the sprinkling of this holy water." And of course, yesterday's baptisms begin with the prayers of exorcism. "Be gone and depart from this sealed, newly enlisted warrior of Christ our God. Be gone and depart from this creature with all your powers and your angels." Now, I would rather not talk to the devil, and would rather not talk about the devil. We prayed at the Compline service Wednesday, asking the Most Holy Theotokos, "Guard my wretched soul at the time of my death, driving away the dark forms of the evil demons." We ask Theotokos, keep the demons from us at the time of our death. The devil's not mentioned in the creed. He's not an article of faith exactly. The church's sacred doctrines, its teachings, are to uplift us and direct us in a right-minded way toward the true and living God and to his kingdom. Discussions of the evil one come more as a warning. The devil is part of the problem in a fallen world, and Christ is ever the solution to that problem. We read in the first epistle of St. John, the theologian, "He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Our Lord Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. It's one of his purposes in his incarnation. Again from the baptism, "The Lord puts you under ban, O devil, he who came into the world and made his abode among men, that he might overthrow your tyranny and deliver men, who also upon the tree the triumph of the adverse powers, who also by death annihilated death, and overthrew him who exercised the dominion of death, that is you, the devil." Brothers and sisters, Christ has trampled down death by death and defeated the devil who was behind death. Satan means enemy. He is the enemy of our immortal souls. He's nothing to play with, and certainly his feast day tomorrow is nothing for Christians to celebrate or make merry about. When the possessed Gadarene guy staggered out of the tombs, no one laughed or mocked him. "Hey, look at the demonic guy. Cool costume. Looks like real foam coming out of your mouth." He was crying out, or rather the demons were screaming from within him at Christ. It was indeed a horror scene, and not to be trivialized. There are three things we need to understand, three things as it relates to the evil one and to our soul. First, again, it's our thoughts, the content and direction of our thoughts. St. John Cassian in the 4th century said, "The demons have no means of taking possession of a person's spirit or body, no power forcibly to enter his soul unless they first deprive him of all holy thoughts and make him empty and devoid of spiritual contemplation." If we are empty of holy thoughts, if there's no prayer working within us, we're vulnerable. Then we are vulnerable. An early church source, the Shepherd of Hermes, writes, "The devil comes and tempts all the servants of God. Those who are strong in faith resist him, and he goes away from them because he cannot find entrance. So he goes to those who are empty, and finding an entrance, he goes into them. Thus he accomplishes whatever he pleases and makes them his slaves." So, brothers and sisters, holy content in our head. And secondly, number two, the sign of the cross. The sign of the cross and the wearing of the cross. You should be wearing a cross, your children should be wearing a cross. If you don't want them to be vulnerable to predators, both physical and spiritual. The exorcisms, whether it's blessing a room with holy water or announcing the ban of Satan over the baptismal candidates, are performed with the sign of the cross. "Be gone and depart from this creature with all your power and your angels." We always have the sign of the cross at hand to protect us. St. John of San Francisco explains the meaning and power of the cross to us. He said, "The cross of the Lord was the instrument by which he saved the world after the fall into sin. Through the cross he descended with his soul into hell to raise up from it the souls who were awaiting him. The cross was sanctified by the body of Christ, which was nailed to it when he gave himself over to torments and death for the salvation of the world. Then it was filled with life-giving power. By the cross on Golgotha, the prince of this world was cast out, and an end was put to his authority. The weapon by which he was crushed became the sign of Christ's victory. The demonic hosts tremble when they see the cross, because the king of hell was destroyed by the cross. They do not dare to draw near to anyone who is guarded by the cross. The whole human race, by the death of Christ on the cross, received deliverance from the authority of the devil, and everyone who makes use of this saving weapon is inaccessible to the demons. When we are guarded by the cross, we oppose the enemy without fearing his nets and his barking. Just as the flaming sword in the hands of the cherubim barred the entrance into paradise of old, so the cross now acts invisibly in the world, guarding it from perdition. Sign of the cross, brothers and sisters, the sign of the Son of Man. The cross will appear in the sky at the end of time. So holy thoughts, the sign of the cross, the wearing of the cross, and finally, stay in the church. Stay in the church. Stay in the church no matter what. Someone said, "The gates of hell prevail against everyone who is off the rock of Christ, the faith of Christ, and thus is outside the church. But the gates of hell will have no power against Christ's church." St. John Chrysostom said, "Never separate yourself from the church, for nothing is stronger than the church. Your only hope is the church. Your salvation is only inside the church. Your refuge is the church. She is higher than the heavens and wider than the whole earth. She never grows old. She was always full of vigor and vitality. Holy Scripture, which would not even exist were it not for the church, when pointing to her strength and stability, calls the church an unshakable mountain." Stay in the church. Trust in the church. Believe that God has placed you here for the benefit and blessing and destiny of your immortal soul. Finally, why does God still permit the demons to have access to us? The answer, where there is no contest, there are no crowns. St. Theophylact of Bulgaria says, "The Lord permits the demons to spend time on earth that they may contend with us and put us to the test, to put us to the test." He said, for if there were no adversaries, no enemies, there would be no contest. And if there would be no contests, there would be no crowns. The exercise of our free will against forces pushing against us and trying to push us towards evil is a test of our character, a test of our soul. Brothers and sisters, may each of us receive a crown. May the evil one be defeated in the lives of each and every one of us by the power of the holy name of Jesus, working in our minds and hearts, and by the power of the precious and life-giving cross, both around our neck and at our right hand, and indeed in the midst of Christ's holy church, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
Amen.